Kath, will you come read to us? Thank you.
Today's reading is in two parts, and the first part is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. The workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And the second part is from Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 13, the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God."
I didn't realise that the reading and the song would be about workers being few. and considering that we've got quite so many away this morning, it seems to be appropriate. But our next reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. And it's about generosity being encouraged. "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves Message version, an hilarious giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly. So in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, 'They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever.' Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your storage of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be rich, enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen." It's my pleasure to welcome Andrew Binns, who has come all the way from Oldham this morning to join us, who's going to be speaking on behalf of Tear Fund. And I know that you'll welcome him in the right way. So thank you, Andrew, and the Lord bless you.
Good morning. I'm also going to do a bit of a reading as well. So from Luke chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. and the 12 were with him. And skipping to verse 4, whilst a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path and it was trampled on. The birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what the parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that through hearing they may not see, through hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy, and when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So I just wanted to thank you, Paul, and the church for the invitation to come and speak to you this morning on the work of Tear Fund. Now, I've been a Tear Fund supporter for most of my adult life, which is probably your church, I believe, has been supporting Tear Fund for over 40 years, which is incredible. So it's maybe about that time. And I've had the opportunity to work for Tear Fund earlier this year. I worked for them for about 6 months, and it was such... Before that, I worked for Christian Aid for 3.5 years. And there is a difference between the two organisations. And because I'd been a Tear Fund supporter, what I'm going to talk to you about today, transforming communities, is what really excited me about going to work for Tear Fund. Singing through that hymn, it's funny, I used to go out speaking for Christian Aid as well, because one of my roles was to go out talking to churches. And They thought that hymn that we sang, "Beauty for Brokenness," was the appropriate hymn for a Christian Aid speaker, but actually that was written for Tear Fund. And just listening to some of those words, it's almost quite negative in terms of we see the poor, you know, as being the people that we support. But actually, what transforming communities is about, as I was realizing singing that hymn, is actually some great hope for the future, that actually they're not poor, that what transforming communities does is to really kind of shine a light into the resources that God has provided them with. So actually they find they're not poor. In fact, they're rich. And some of the stories I'll tell, you'll see how... you know, with your support as individuals and as a church, you're helping really, and I really mean this, you're helping to transform lives. And I'm not even just going to use like one story and one location to kind of demonstrate the point. I'll use a couple of stories that consistently this Transforming Communities program is starting to really help and to help these communities to change the way that they live. You know, it's your giving, but it's your prayers as well. There's a remarkable man called Heb David, and he He leads the word in the he leads the work in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And he said, prayer changes things on the ground. And what Tearfund is seeing now is the result of the prayers over the decades that Tearfund's been in existence. Are real changes on the ground in the countries in which we work today. But just to highlight how difficult and how dangerous some of the countries where Tearfund works are, is that on the 30th of June, two of the Tearfund staff, Jonas and John, they were killed when their convoy was ambushed. And so Heb Daviou, that was his quote, prayer changes things on the ground. He more recently was writing a tribute to Jonas and John. And he said he'd met them a few days before. And I asked them, guys, how are you feeling about here being here? How do you feel about continuing to work here with the risk that you're facing with all that's happening? Jonas responded saying in his good French way, Director, we're here because this is where the need is greatest. We know the issues, the security situation, and the challenges that are there. We do everything as an organisation to stay safe in the midst of this, but we can't run away from it. This is the time when we are needed the most in this place. This is the time where we are needed, and therefore we will continue to serve. We follow Jesus where the need is greatest. This is the time where Jesus wants us here. That's who Jonas and John were. And I felt that passage that I read in Luke is probably one of the most common passages read at Harvest Services. And Paul said that it was used last year, so that proves the point, doesn't it? I'm going to share with you, as I said, some of the really exciting work that Tearfund's doing. And this program is called Transforming Communities. A recent fundraising appeal... featured Isaac. There's a picture of Isaac here. And Isaac is a farmer in South Sudan, so knows all about sowing and growing and reaping. And at its heart, the parable of the sower is about the kingdom of God and the power of the word of God. Transforming community starts with the Bible. That's fundamental to the program. It starts with Bible studies done through the local church. Yeah, it's a highly practical program, but it begins with what God's word says about what he provides already. And Isaac says, one of the things that I learned is that God provided us with resources in creation. The money I get from selling fruit helps to pay for my children to go to school. The church gave me the courage to forget about the horrors of the past and focus on starting a new chapter. So I'm going to play a video which features Isaac, amongst others. This video came this year from South Sudan, the work that Tearfund's doing in transforming communities. And the background to this, which you'll probably pick up, is that they had to flee due to civil war in South Sudan, this community, and they went into a refugee camp. It features Mary, and I know a little bit about Mary because this is what I was working on at Tearfund, was what's called their summer appeal. So if any of you get Tearfund material, you may remember Mary from that. And it just tells their story of how they had to flee to this refugee camp, but things weren't great there, so they then decided that it was better to come back to where they live. So we'll see if we can get this working. Yeah.
Here we go. When you look at the trainings that we offer as for community transformation, we look at majorly envisioning the communities through our facilitators, where our entry point is the church, and we envision them so that they're able to have vision for their livelihood, for their living. Like what Prophet Habakkuk said, that you need to have vision and write your vision down so that someone will glance over it. We give them knowledge, and then they identify themselves from the environment using their God-given potentials. After identifying their own problem and then the resources that is available within their reach, then they mobilize those resources in order to address their own problem. When we talk about the resource mobilization, many people identify land as the very important resource, and they put it in farming. That is why we can see they are able to have cassava, they are able to plant fruit trees, which is something that really has really catched the interest of the people throughout our Bible study. And that is what demonstrated as holistic transformation, that is spiritually and physically, because the objective is to empower the local communities that they are able to transform their lives using the God-given resources.
Working with them enables us to be able to understand humanitarian needs or root causes of poverty, because it gives us an entry kind of point or opportunity to be able to engage community and be able to address their needs in a more holistic way. Because it also helps us to ensure that whatever we are doing in the community is sustainable.
So we want to demonstrate to them that the church and the community can work together so that they are able to be like the soul and the light in this world. And it is the role of the church to mobilize the community, because the community is the church and the church is the community. During the conflicts in 2016, many people flew to Uganda, and Mary, one of our practitioners, also flew together to the camp. So they were really faced with many challenges, and Mary in particular was not able to access the ration card. Her name disappeared in the UNHCR list, and she faced a lot of challenges where she could not even get food for her children. She decided to flew back to South Sudan. On her arrival, she was unable to start life because she found her houses, her huts were destroyed, they were burned, there was no food, all the properties were all destroyed. She was selected by her pastor in her church for these trainings. That was where she began regaining hopes for life. When she was taken through the trainings, then she was able to identify land as one of her resources. She was able to work hard and transform the soil into bricks, where she laid bricks and started constructing temporary huts for her living. Mary is also as a change agent who is now transforming other women who are widows. There are many people like Mary who are widows where she lives. And she wishes that these trainings for community transformation is extended to these widows so that they are all transformed and they have a good living in the community.
It's very important to work through local churches. We believe local churches are deep-rooted in the community, because we believe that Tearfund is only here for a season, but after our interventions phase out, churches will remain, they will continue supporting their communities. So we believe that it brings the element of lasting impact or lasting change.
Since 2006, lives have been transformed through Tearfund's community projects, including this Transforming Communities model. And an extensive piece of research was carried out by an external well-respected non-Christian agency, and the results are incredible and exciting. And I've got a slide that I'll show you after this next bit about what that actually means in terms of numbers. But it's these stories of transformation that are just incredible. And to show the importance of prayer to Tearfund, they have a weekly prayer meeting. And so all staff and people connected with Tearfund attend this weekly prayer meeting. And often it's led by people in the actual countries where we work. And stories, time and time again, of transformation that came out were just incredible. And one of the communities is this community in Burundi. And this is Cecile, who's a young woman. You can see her there on front of the leaflet that I'm going to tell you about. And she lives with her husband. And she's gone through the Bible studies at the local church. And they are farmers. And this is just a little of Cecile's story. I love to sing. I sing alto. And when I sing, my heart gets filled with love and joy. I love God and I enjoy singing for God. I like this community and they're very welcoming, peaceful, and have a good heart and I've made friends. We understood the power of coming together as a church and working together for our own development. A changed church changes the community for the better. Our congregation was able to build a health centre, a road and bring up water. I'm happy to be part of this church as I come to know God and see his hand. I now have a church family. We love and support one another. I played my part in the construction, even if I was not strong. I worked with others in digging the road and moving rocks, and we also contributed some money. Now it's like an awakening. People are more engaged, and we've been inspired to change. And to change our community, and we're now active. Apart from building the health centre, more people are working hard to change their situation. And here's another video. Now, I first saw this video when I was working at Christian Aid, because the manager of the team sent it round as being kind of a really good example of kind of just some innovation in how charities like Christian Aid, Tearfund, etc., actually tell the stories. And this is the story of this community in Burundi, and you'll see Cecile right at the beginning of the video.
It's Burundi in Africa, and this is Cecile, who's walking to fetch water for her family.
Oh, yeah, Steve.
Oh, okay. Well, then what's in the bucket? This is the school that your donations built, brick by... Then who built it? Of course. Your generous donation.
Oh, yeah.
This is the centre of the community that your donations... No, okay, it's not, is it? Okay, what did Tearfund do? Oh, well, that's much more helpful.
So these are the numbers that the research came up with. This massive report, but this is the highlight. And it says that basically for £1 of donations that Tearfund invest in a church's Transforming Communities programme, that unlocks directly £7 of community research resources to support it, including facilitator hours, volunteers, and funds donated by community members. But overall, that means for the whole community, it's £211. So that is multiplication, which is what Jesus was talking about in the parable of the sower right there, about how your donations supporting this work of transforming communities can then have a real impact on these communities. So just to summarise, that Cecile's church and community in Burundi, they raise more than £30,000 on their own to build the health centre. And actually, Cecile gave birth to her first son called Prince, and she was one of the first mothers to give birth in the health centre that they helped to build. They managed to pipe water from the bottom of the hill to the top so that the health centre had running water. The inspiration for that project came from experiencing the Bible studies, which is part of what Tearfund brings in this community transformation. And the result was that the church grew as well. And so that church now requires a bigger building and to go out and plant more churches, all as a result of this Transforming Communities programme. That's why Tearfund is passionate about the local church. That's why I see hope, real hope, coming through in this programme. Meeting Jesus is only the beginning of the journey. A local church provides the community as well. And we all need to make the most of that journey personally and community. Yeah, Jesus said in that parable of the sower in verse 8, and some of the seed fell into good soil and it grew and yielded 100-fold. This is real multiplication that's happening in many of these countries. And Tearfund believes that God has given them this remarkable way to transform the lives of countless millions. And it's got an ambitious vision from God. They currently are partnering with around 30,000 churches in 50 countries. But the vision is to roll out this program to 250,000 churches by 2030. That is a multiple increase. But Tearfund can't do this alone. It needs help from churches and individuals such as yourselves. And we are so thankful for the gifts that you've given and the prayers that you pray already. How can you join in then with what Tearfund is doing? Well, there's a few different ways. The first one is prayer. As I started with this, prayer changes things on the ground, and nothing happens without prayer. And Tearfund provide lots of resources for prayer. So two of the resources are, well, usually they come together, is Tear Times, that comes out quarterly. And within Tear Times is the prayer diary, again, quarterly, to enable you to pray for the work of Tearfund. And do you know what? I'm sick of reading news, our general secular news. It's so depressing. Yet there's so much comfort and hope and inspiration in the stories that are in these magazines. So that's one way you can do, by signing up for Tear Times and praying. For example, I was just looking back at the prayers that were in it for last week. And it was featuring Nazareth, which is a village on the Kenyan-Ugandan border. And it started off the week by a quote from one of the villagers saying, "Our village was forsaken and with no hope of life. There was no source of water, no school or health facility." And then through the week, we realised that actually God is working through this Transforming Communities. They decided then to use their church hall for a classroom. They then persuaded the government to provide finance to help to build a proper classroom. So now that 50 children are being taught through that classroom. They were then inspired to go on radio and explain the village's need for water. And the Kenyan government heard about it and then paid for a borehole. The village celebrated for the whole day by having showers and playing in the water, this gift of water that came, not through Tearfund intervening or anything, but just being the inspiration, the catalyst for that village coming together and doing it for themselves. And so it finished yesterday with they've got a health, there's a health centre, a market and a honey production are underway, all dreamt up and inspired and led by the church and community members. And then the other way that you can help is by giving. We're grateful for all the gifts that people give, but this is going to cost money to do. It's such an ambitious thing, and God, there are amazing supporters in TIFF on some of the stories you hear about people, the way that they give so sacrificially is incredible. And God uses those gifts in incredible ways. So if you're able to and you would like to, I've got some giving leaflets here. You can either fill it in now and give it me, or you can just send it in, or everything you can do online, which is the more modern way. So that's all available. The details are there. If you just want to pray, that's fine as well. Again, you can go on the TIFF website, details are here, and just sign up for prayer. And there's a number of ways that you can get involved with that. And then finally, TIFF has the big quiz night coming up on the 16th of November. So if that's something that you could consider doing, we have that at our church in Oldham, so that's brilliant. Yeah, brilliant and fun way to raise funds. Doesn't have to necessarily be on that night, but you can do it again. So, again, thank you for your gifts, and thank you for inviting me to come and speak. And I'll just close with prayer. Father, I thank you that you are a God of multiplication, that you are the seed sower. And Lord, once we grasp hold of your word and we realize that you are Jehovah Jireh, our wonderful provider, Lord, that you will take the little that we offer and you will begin to multiply it, Lord. And Father, I'm just so excited for this work of TIFF on this transforming communities. Lord, the countless stories that we see where even governments are taking notice because your power, the power of your kingdom is behind it. And so, Father, I just pray that you will just continue to bless it. And, Lord, the vision that you've given them, Lord, I know that you will provide for it. And I just thank you for the people here in this church. I pray that you'll just bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.